missed whatever step it was that you two decided to start a newspaper. Was there a crowd of you that decided to, or you two thought, wouldn't this be fun to... I kind of miss wherever
There was a development in that. It was when I started graduate school at Emory. We had lived here for that summer, and had discovered that there was no anti-war movement to speak of. There were a few people we had met, but by and large, there was just, you know, and we come from the West Coast, which was pretty heavy anti-war stuff going on. And so I started on the opening day of school at registration. I put out a broadsheet. I called it the Emory Herald Tribune. And it just basically, you know, kind of a fact sheet on the war. And Steffi and I had a table out there. And, you know, just trying to see what we could get going. And handing out this paper and getting people's names and so on. And pretty soon we have a crowd. You know, there's 12, 14 people standing there and talking and everything else. And so I decided to do that Emory Herald Tribune every week. I mean, out of that, you know, that first group, I think we had a group of 10 or 12 people who came together then and wanted to do anti-war work on campus. And so the Emory Herald Tribune, which I did most of the writing, but there were some people who added to it. A guy named Steve Abbott did some cartoons and stuff like that.
Student body present when I graduated.
Right. And then we got some help from a guy in the community, a guy named George Blau, who had an offset press. You know, it's a small offset press. And so we, you know, in order to expand the numbers of people, I guess, involved, you know, we stopped the Emory Herald Tribune as my contribution and set up a little, it was about, you know, folded over, little folded over 8.5 by 14, you know, thing, usually 6 pages, something like that, with quite a few people writing in it. We called it the Big American Review, right, and we're just handing these out. And from that, the interest that was developed around the Big American Review, you know, because now we had 6 or 7 people writing, they're doing artwork or whatever, and we're in contact with people at University of Georgia and Agnes Scott, Georgia State, Oglethorpe, and, you know, people started talking, well, why don't we put out a campus-wide, a Georgia-wide university paper, right, anti-war paper. And so kind of in the thinking about that, you know, and looking at the economics of it, it, you know, we said, well, why don't we just put out a paper, you know, period. And not just focus on the campuses, but just put out an underground paper. There were some, you know, at that time. The Chicago Seed was going, I think, and of course the Berkeley Barb and the East Village, other, you know, in Chicago, New York, San Francisco, there were these papers that we were in somewhat contact with, and decided that you know we would put out a statewide, well, citywide first, but, you know, statewide paper. And, you know, that's about the time we're getting into the end of the semester, and I decided I wouldn't, you know, I was more important to do than to go to graduate school. I was rather tired of school as it was. I'd been in school for all my life at that time, you know, it seemed. So, anyway, that's, you know, there's some direct connection, you know, to those earlier strictly Emory papers.
Thanks for the history.
I'd like to, if you've got copies, though, I'd love to scan those sometimes, because, well, I like the connection to Emory. I wonder if they know that.
Oh, they do. I mean, Emory has them in their files. You know, all of them, as far as I know, they're in the Emory library.
Good.
But I've got them here. I've got copies of all those early papers. Yeah. Georgia State does too now. Georgia State wanted, I've donated all my photographs and then those early stuff to Georgia State as well as the world. So they've got the Tom Coffin file down there. You know.
Finally on file and not just with the FBI.
Right.